Okay. Well, who's next? Sandy?
Hi, Sandy Pritchard, 526 East 19th Street. And I applaud the commission for stepping into this. It's a big issue. In my personal opinion, each STR represents one unit of housing that is removed from inventory. And we need to look at it that way. And it isn't just affordable housing, it's housing in general. But we say as part of our vision to Wayne City, I think one of the six of the items is affordable housing. So I think we need to frame our mindset that way. Speculators are driving the cost of housing in Wayne City through the roof. That somebody can get $189,000 for that little turquoise house adjacent to the post office with a 6-foot backyard and it's a 50 by 50 foot lot is insane. So, when we talk about the schools, I think one of the reasons there's 25 to 30% schools of choice is because the children or the young adults of families that lived here forever can't afford to be in the district. So I think that's where a lot of that comes from. So going forward, I'm looking at what other people do and what other towns have done. They say, oh, Boyne City's so small, we don't need to worry about it. I think we need to get ahead of it so we don't end up with lawsuits over people are making investments as we make restrictions. We need to cap the number per owner. We need to think about designating districts for STRs. We need to limit the number of days per year. Landlords need to be given the option to declare their properties are not, cannot be used for STRs, or that their tenants need to come and get their permission, so that they can't sublet. I totally believe that we need to enforce the PREs. I totally believe we need to tax STRs as commercial enterprises that they are. Hotels have to pay lodging tax, as someone else mentioned. That's a revenue stream. Licensing, obviously. All the code issues that need to be, keep people safe, need to be enforced. Maximum number of people per bedroom, habitable unit. And out of that, I'm sure there will be need to be, Tim's point, an increase in the staffing to manage this and administer it. If you look at the revenue projections from these things, minus the number of staff to administer it, I guarantee you there will be net revenue. And if this city wants to do something seriously about affordable housing, that net revenue could be put into an affordable housing trust. And we can really start walking the talk to take care of the people so that we have a community, Wayne City, the fabric and the wonderful culture that we have here sustained and not turned into a Sedona. By the way, that packet I gave back in November was the Sedona report. And I will give it to you again, because it didn't make it into the agenda minutes. We need to think hard about it. If one person has more than one SDR, at least one of them should be their primary residence. But I really want to bring home the opportunity to do something seriously that can help the affordable housing situation by implementing this registration taxes and the revenues and the excess revenue to be put into an affordable housing trust. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Hi, Steve Schnell again. City resident. I'm not going to repeat myself, but I do want to emphasize one thing that Sandy just made. I think it is really important. as we consider regulating these, that we do think very clearly about these being commercial lodging rather than a home, and that every time we allow a new STR, it may be converted from a weekend home, it may be converted from a year-round residence. So we have to think about that, because it is, the housing supply is critical. I gave you the data already earlier. It is really important, and I think we're still seeing a net loss of housing in our community, even with the new construction going on, given the predicted demand. And again, these are all estimates, so understand where they're coming from, but I think you are seeing a net loss of housing supply. Great points that have already been made, and I really appreciate the commission putting this together and having a really constructive way to get this kind of input. I thought we were going to be here and we'd hear ping-pong and, you know, pros and cons and everything, but there seems to be some really thoughtful ideas out there about, you know, the intricacies of this. But there are pros and there are cons. I'm definitely for short-term rentals. I use them myself when I travel with other friends, and we usually try to fill them up, and we have a great time, and it seems like a great way to travel. And it's important to our community, too, because we don't have the hotel rooms that we need in our community. I would like to see, I know, you know, we could study this whole thing to death, and we've really focused on the presentations before coming from the number of housing units that we have. It would be really interesting to know, and again, I don't know that we can really know this without spending a lot of money on a really intense study, but to know what is the hotel demand here. You know, we thought a lot about the housing demand, we got that information, but the other side of it is, what is the hotel demand? Everybody says we need more, but how many do we need? What do we really need to support our community? Also, when we think about the economic development pros of this, it's great to understand how they support the local tourist-oriented businesses. But don't forget, and I know you don't forget, all the industrial jobs that we have coming into the area. We've got 200 and some new jobs coming in from the Google Web. We have community or businesses within our community that are saying, I'm not sure that I can stay here any longer because I can't get enough people to that I can recruit you. I'm not going to be able to recruit people from outside the area because we don't have the housing here to support that kind of recruitment effort. So we really have to think about that level of the demand too, and the economic development need that we have for year-round residential homes in our community. So, you know, if somebody was to ask me that magic number, you know, we have these estimates for the number of homes. If somebody was to ask me how many, what's the magic number of homes we can give up to short-term rentals, I'd say zero. But I'm a hammer, so I'm going to see it as a nail. So don't just take my word for it. You know, I'm going to see this as, no, we can't lose any housing. If you turn all the short-term rentals into year-round residential, I'd say that's a good thing for the housing supply, but it's not the best thing for our economic development. So we're going to have to come up with some sort of balance that really meets both of those needs. I think some of the creative solutions that we could have is think about, like Sandy said, I think about the zoning districts. Where are they best compatible with other land uses? And also, within some zoning districts, if you still want to allow them, think about requiring them to be owner-occupied. So say I'm living in town and I want to section off a portion of my house or do an addition that could be an apartment. Maybe that's the situation where you allow somebody to do a short-term rental, because as a homeowner now, I can supplement my income, make it easier for me to make my mortgage payment. And then you also have essentially a manager on site to control for ordinance issues, blight, sound, noise, that kind of thing. So the opportunity there for an owner-occupied short-term rental could be good for the housing market. What you've also done by creating that additional apartment that could be short-term rental to help pay it off, it could be a future housing unit in the long term. So this isn't black and white, and I really appreciate the fact that you're spending so much time looking at the intricacies and details of this, but please think about this very seriously about limiting these. I wouldn't be shy about setting a number that's lower than what we have out there right now, if that's needed, but I think a look at, and maybe information from the chamber and other lodging people, and maybe even some of the local businesses. We all want more people, but do we really need, how many of these lodging units do we really need in our community? And could that be served in the surrounding area also and shared with other entities? We have most of our short-term rentals, in fact, I think 33% of the Boyne Valley Township's housing stock is essentially short-term rentals. If you look at the total number of housing units, for short-term rentals. Obviously, that's Boyne Mountain, but we do have a good supply, and we're working with Boyne Mountain on fulfilling some of that demand, which is important. So, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. I got a question for Steve.
Steve, question?
Steve, from your expertise, you say you recommend a cap. Let's say we cap it at 70. Is it fair to the 71st person that wants to invest in Boyne City? How do you handle that dilemma?
Yeah, it depends on where they are, I think, really. I mean, I think it was said earlier on, I think Tom Shaw mentioned it, that it's really clear by the state law and court precedent that short-term rentals are a commercial use of the property. It's not residential. And you have support to say, you know, in your residential neighborhoods, your land use goals are residential. And unless it's in a mixed-use district where that's clearly allowed as a commercial rental, then you probably are saying you're being compliant and you're fulfilling your land use goals by saying you want to keep it as residential. So it's not going to seem fair to that 71st person, that's for sure. But a lot of things in zoning will seem that way. You know, I can't build the giant house that I've got. I can't build a foot from my property line. Is it fair to somebody? You know, it's a good question, and I don't have that answer. But you're fulfilling land use goals by meeting that cap.
Okay, thank you.
Steve, real quick, are you aware of any towns, you know, similar to Boyne City, you know, our size and demographics, that has an ordinance that seems to have worked for them that we could maybe contact and get some ideas from? Or
well, yeah, you can contact any of the, like, City of Charlevoix. They've had theirs in place for a little while. I would say absolutely contact them as far as getting their history. I think you've already consulted with Jonathan Shield, who's a planner in the area, and he helped set up Evangeline Townships. I think he helped with theirs, just as a, you know, giving friendly advice. But he's a City of Charlevoix planner and has some information that could be helpful. I'd also caution you to think that, to understand that you have a really unique situation here too. Every community in the North is rather unique. But yeah, I encourage you to reach out to them. I can give you the names of communities that I know.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
Steve, with that being said, because your role is for Charlevoix County, essentially.
Correct.
Are you seeing, like, Charlevoix County has their STRs? I think they came out with theirs, like, 3 years ago, or probably 3 years ago now.
So do Charlevoix?
Yeah. Yep, in Petoskey. Well, yeah, Emmett County. So have you seen, like, this, all these, you know, metrics here from 2019 in this survey, have you seen, and with your conversations with everyone, even, like, in Traverse City, because they are having the same exact issue, I know you're in Traverse City, have you seen a municipality that has an ordinance that has started to make an impact on these numerical values when it comes to housing availability? Because every community is struggling with housing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Some communities have adopted short-term ordinances directly trying to impact these numbers. Would you say Boyne City is falling faster compared to Charlevoix because we're not ordinating or having limits on STRs? Are we like the tipping scale because we're not jumping on getting the ordinance done right now?
And, you know, like I said before, I think any housing unit lost is a real issue, is a big issue for this community, for any community. Mm-hmm. And you're definitely seeing larger numbers, larger percentage in Boyne City because you don't have regulations. But City of Charlevoix, they haven't met their cap yet, I don't believe, in their community. So, you know, I think the analogy I've used in the past here in other meetings is in the housing supply challenge is like a leaky bucket with 20 holes in it. And if we're plugging one hole at a time, it's still leaking, you know. And at the same time, since the day I started was the day of a lockdown for COVID, and you know, things have just gotten harder and harder every day since then because of construction costs and all that. So I can't point to data in the last 3 years where people are making gains on those numbers, except that there are communities that are really plugging those holes, that are lowering the regulatory barriers. You guys are already doing a great job with that. Scott's been terrific at making sure housing can happen through your zoning. But I think this is one of those many holes that needs to be plugged, or at least, you know, put a sieve under it so you're not losing as many as you have. But yeah, I think you're think it needs to be controlled. It needs to be in balance right now. There's too many disappearing out of that whole supply, more so than what you're doing in new construction.
Marty, do you know the cap in Charlevoix out there?
80, I think, but it's in zoning districts.
The residential district is 80.
Okay. Yeah. Not all districts allow them. Some do.
Right.
Some do with a cap. The same with East Jordan.
But I mean, you see some of these statistics, and you know, it's kind of, you know, we were talking about it maybe a while back. You know, they're saying like, you know, 30%, you know, 30% of these statistics, like in Scott's report, that takes you to what was the number that we had in the last time? Like 720. It was crazy. Yeah. So that's where I was wondering where Charlevoix was capped at, because I knew some of the restrictions.
Yeah, they probably have more than that. I don't know the current numbers. They probably have more than that total number of short-term rentals. But again, it's just capped in certain districts. It's uncapped in others.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
Rick, thank you.
Anyone else?
In the back there.
I do own a vacation rental. Back when I bought it was a change from commercial to residential. I worked in the restaurant business. I wanted to do a little restaurant. Could not be allowed. So I bought this building. I drove past it 25 years, watching it do the date. And so I asked Scott, could it be a vacation rental? I didn't know much about vacation rentals. As a kid, I wanted to own my own bed and breakfast. So anyway, my kids have always done travel sports. There's the softball, the waterfront in Petoskey does it with Boeing. 44 teams used to come up. That's 9 kids on a team and their parents at least. That's over 4, that's like 5,000 people that come up that need a place to stay for the weekend. Where are they staying? I also work in the restaurant business. We have weddings all the time. 200, 300 people come to these weddings. They have no places to stay. So I knew there was a need for a place to stay. I only own one vacation rental. I have never had any complaints about it. I don't allow more than, usually it's a couple or two couples and their kids at the most. It is only 2 bedroom, but they can have 6, because there's a roll pull-out couch. I do like Sandy's idea of trying to get money somehow back from the VRBO so they can start the income for some housing. Could Boyne City ever do their own Boyne City vacation rental website out there? Maybe have everybody listing their vacation rentals on a city website, and maybe some of that money then, because I pay out a good amount to VRBO that they get each time a person rents it. So maybe that money will go towards you each time. I don't know. I know that on the other hand, my daughter is 25. She cannot find a house looking for something, $100,000 to $150,000. So I understand both aspects of it. She stays in the rental when I doesn't rent it out, and she stays at my house right now. I guess that's all I've got to say. I do see a need for housing for people that come up here to stay. But I also see the vacation or the long-term rental issues. So, that's an idea.
All right. Yes. Thank you. Do we have someone on the line?
Yes, we have Sarah Christensen that has her hand up. Sarah, thank you. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yep, you're good.
Sarah Christensen, 125 Stewart Street. Just want to put my opinion in here. I agree with all of those people who have shared thoughts on putting regulations in place in the short-term rental ordinance, but it really is all about the money. My opinion is we should financially disincentivize homeowners from choosing to use their home as a short-term rental. We can do this by having high application fees, high annual fees. There should be nobody who can get a homestead exemption if they're using this for commercial use. This will curb those people who have the knee-jerk desire to buy houses. businesses here or turn their existing home into a short-term rental. And to those who are asking about where the tourists are going to stay, well, they've been figuring it out for years. And I posed the question back to them about where are employers going to find housing for these service workers who they all want them to wait on them when they come off as tourists. What's more important? Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Got it. Back here. Please. Kathy Walton. I live out on the lakeshore, but own 2 units at the Landings Condominiums. I'm born and raised in Boyne City, so I have a long history here. A maiden name of Bauer. I'm passionate about Boyne City and so thankful to be able to live back in this community. One of the units that I have was actually my grandmother's, an original owner at the Landing. So my ability to keep that as a future downsizing plan and also to keep that heritage in my home, I've been able to do that because the regulations for the condominiums from the very beginning include the ability to rent. So I do see that the condominium developments, who often are renters from the very beginning of those developments, might be one of those zones that you consider and how those are managed because they're already managed by the Homeowners Association and the board. There's a lot of processes and things in place that I think can be very advantageous to be shared of things that are working really well. I do appreciate that there are two sides to this. Many of the people who come up and rent and maybe were, I get a lot of stories of people who've been coming up since they were children to this area and want very much to be able to buy here because they've had so many wonderful experiences. So your renters are also often your future owners in the community who want to come and get a second home or who really truly hope to be able to live here because they've made so many good memories. Some of the challenges that we have to do with people who have second homes or have homes, and they not only, you have a situation of people who are short-term renters, but you also have people that I want you to remember also open up their own home to allow multiple guests to come to their home, but they're not paying for it, but they do impact the community in terms of their behaviors and things too. So I really encourage us to use processes in which people learn how and are educated on how to use the rules and regulations you already have in place related to your noise ordinances, related to the health department, when to call the health department, what are the things that the health department should be looking at, if they have a concern, what's their role that they play, where do the police play a role so that you're not layering more, but educating how people are also should be using the great rules and regulations you already have in place for both short-term renters and also other types of guests in the community. One of the things that is always a concern to me is people, which has already been mentioned, is how people utilize the space they have and how you design the number of occupants in the house. It's not related to how many beds they can fit into a room. It's related to the bedrooms, bathrooms, and maximum occupancy related to the health department and those kinds of things. And how can we make sure that people are aware of what those are? Because sometimes you'll get someplace that it's a big room, so they put in 5 bunk beds. And I don't think that fits very well in maybe a 1 or 2 bath home. So those things should be considered so that people have reasonable numbers in terms of capacity. In terms of the low-income housing, one of the things that I've noticed when I've lived in other communities is the development that they've done over time in terms of apartment complexes and other types of housing that can be used at all different levels of economics. Sometimes in areas that I've seen, and I think that I don't know all the history here for the years that I wasn't back in this community, but we need to also be aware of where maybe we've had some shortcomings in planning those kinds of developments over time, which is causing could be another cause of why we have challenges related to low-income housing and housing for people who are coming to work in the community, because it's not just short-term rentals. I want to make sure that we're doing a nice balance of recognizing where our challenges have come from, and then what are we doing related to those kinds of developments that help for that kind of housing as well, so that we continue to grow our community in a positive direction. Not, and so I do like that there's an open forum like this to make sure that we look at all those different sides. In terms of insurance, I know for myself, I went out and it was great comments that were made this evening that, you know, there are different types of insurances that people should be handling if they are doing short-term rentals. There's a different type of insurance. It's more expensive, but it's really designed for people that are doing short-term rentals, and I think that's where there's a big gap in education or standards set up that people should be following that. They just think that their homeowner's insurance is adequate.
You expired your 5 minutes, so you just time to just wrap it up?
Yeah, so I think that we just need to continue to work together, really listen to each other. I appreciate the how sensitive an issue this is, but I think with the time that I know my experience has been in developing the processes, it can work out well and to make a balance for everyone. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
Hi, I'm Michelle Nichol-Fraz. I live at 130 Washington Street. And I think Hugh's introduction, I agree with all of the things that you talked about as far as the goals. I think Rick Bailing said some really appropriate things, and I agree with what Zach was saying with regards to the need for balance in the community. With regards to just some key points, I do agree that there should be regulation and restrictions on short-term rentals. Both, I think, for long and short-term. There aren't really any regulations in the community for long-term, and we've had a long-term rental for many, many years, and we are very compliant, and it's a lovely home. However, no one's ever asked if our smoke detectors are up to date, or if we have carbon monoxide detectors, or appropriate escapes and things like that. So I do think that those regulations are appropriate for both short and long-term rentals. The other thing that I was curious about is Steve mentioned to cap at 70. However, right now we have 154 short-term rentals that are shown in that report. And I'm not really sure how someone could take that opportunity away from someone who may have spent more to purchase that property because it was a short-term rental or had short-term rental potential. So I find that to be somewhat concerning that may be. I think a cap is important and definitely needs to happen soon. However, those people who already have rentals, I think, should be given the opportunity to maintain those. Once that cap is in place, then there needs to be a process for if a short-term rental is sold, does that stipulation go to the next buyer or to the purchaser, or how that works. So those types of pieces of language, I think, need to be included as well. But capping it below where we already are, I think, may cause a lot of conflict in our community.
Thank you. Oscar?
My name is Oscar Martin, 413 East Lincoln Street. Thank you for the opportunity to speak and for putting on this forum. I'm just going to kind of recap on what I talked about last time. I know some of the people that are in this room weren't there. I am for short-term rentals, and I'm for as little regulation as possible. Let's put that out there. But I do hear a lot of people's very good ideas, and I really like the idea of a Wayne City website. That's awesome. I just wanted to remind everybody that Steve is completely correct, that this is not a black and white issue. There's a lot of gray area. There's a whole lot of reasons why we have an affordable housing issue in Boyne City, and it's really not correct or factually correct whatsoever to equate short-term rentals to a housing crisis. And I spoke about the facts and numbers in my presentation in the fall that proved that. And I think it's just really important to look at all the facts when we're discussing that, and to separate housing affordability issue and what the city wants to do with short-term rentals, and look at the issues that people have with short-term rentals for what they are, not housing affordability. Because I can go back and remind people about when you look at the economy we're in, everything's inflating. There are no homes that are in an affordable range anymore. I mean, it's very difficult to buy a home for anybody right now. It's difficult to afford rent for anybody. So we need to be creative as a city and roll up our sleeves and try to get people into homes in many other ways, not trying to regulate this one thing if we really want to solve that issue. And if, you know, if you want to look at just some demographics of Boyne City, I said that in the last presentation that I made on the numbers. I mean, yeah, Boyne City could be compared to Sedona as a growing aging population, so is Boyne City. I have nothing against that, but it is what it is. They aren't working and they don't have children in the schools. It is what it is. Statewide enrollment from the state's website is down across the entire state. It's not just Boyne City. Actually, our enrollment decline is a lot less at a rate than some of the other schools in our area, so we're doing pretty good. Some of the things that were talked about were a commercial and some of the regulations with safety and things like that. I think it's important, if we're going to do any regulations in regards to safety, to really look at to look at everybody's safety and regulation in their homes, because once we just lost our beloved hospital to a long-term renter, I hate to say it, but I was very sad when that thing burned down. And that's from a negligent long-term rental, and that's just the fact. So if we're going to regulate short-term rental, let's do that to long-terms too. Do we want to do that? I don't know. We have to ask ourselves. So if we're going to do some ordinances, I think we need to look at what we're going to do for everybody. I mean, there's blight in home ownership, whereas a lot of short-term rentals are beautiful. So, I mean, there's pros and cons to everything. And I'm all for what Sandy said, she's not here anymore, but protecting the culture of Boyne City and what we grow up and know. I completely stand with that and want to do what I can to help with that too. Safety is a concern, so we need to look at ordinances for all housing units. I think zoning is important. We've got to get creative with zoning, like Steve has talked about, creating accessory dwelling units. And as I already understand, there's all commissioners here are working really hard to try to bring in creative private development to get more housing units up in this town. And I encourage that because that's what we need to do. So if we're going to create fees on anything, I would suggest just keep in mind the people that only rent out their units that they live in very minimally, maybe 4th of July weekend. They landed on Airbnb and they are one of those units, but they may not actually rent out their unit that often. Are they going to have to pay, you know, hundreds of dollars in order to supplement some of their income that made their home affordable for them? Something we have to think about. So I just want everybody to look at all the full sides that we're doing right now. Thank you, everybody. You guys said some great things, and I learned a few things too.
Thank you. Thank you, Oscar. Anyone else?
Yeah, my name is Gary Gray. I live on Lakeshore Drive here, 1325. And we had a really, really bad negative experience with a short-term rental, SDR, next to us the night before New Year's. There was 14 young gentlemen from Indiana. They drove four beautiful pickup trucks. I mean, I'm a pickup truck guy myself, so I really appreciate it. But about 2:30 in the morning, they determined that they were going to go ahead and raise hell. So not only, see, the facility that's next to me, the folks who bought it turned it into a 14-room facility, 14 beds that people can sleep in. The garage in the back was converted into a upper level, lower level game room. They have two queen size bunk beds in the upper level. And they had the ability, not only in that particular location, but in the house down below, to sleep 14 people. Well, when you have an acoustic guitar and you have karaoke going on at 2:30 in the morning, who are you supposed to call? The police, right? I found out about that the next day. I did try to contact the owner that had owned it, but come to find out they sold it the day before. So the new owners are from downstate. Nice guy, talked to them. They do have a management company. They came in and they, I don't know whether they talked to the individuals, but I did. I went over and talked to them. I said, hey, don't do this again. Because it is extremely impolite. It doesn't add to the character of Boyne City. And it was, to me, it was extremely, it violated, you know, pretty much our personal space with all of the noise that they were generating. I mean, I could have gone out and shut my shotgun off, and you wouldn't have heard me because of all the crap they were doing. And of course, it was taken on by smoking as well as drinking. So I'm not happy with the short-term rental, you know, and I understand it's a business, and it is important, and I believe in capitalism. But I really believe we have to put some sort of regulations in place to protect, you know, the homeowners. Yeah, I've got a nice place. It's a little old retirement home. But at the same time, if I have to put up with that, I tell you what, it's not necessary. And this council needs to do something to go ahead and to protect, you know, the homeowners. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else? Going once.
Okay, for those of you who would like to make a comment and didn't want to get up, you do have those white cards. You can fill that out and give it to the planning department or just downstairs.
Yeah, just leave it or sign or collect cards today, or you want to take all of your thoughts and submit them later, just drop them off at City Hall, send us an email, or any way you want to be with us.
Okay, well, Scott, I think we're to the point.
Well, I was just going to ask, will there be another open forum?
Yeah. You know,
we have another opportunity
to
speak.
Yes. I guess I could get into that right now. We did have a meeting scheduled for 2 weeks from today.
You want to use your microphone a little bit more?
Oh, I'm sorry. We had originally scheduled for, I think it was April 21st.
Correct.
In the chamber, annual gathering was not planned at that time, so we had a conflict. And weeks before and after that, we have some conflict with the commissioner, so we're going to just skip that meeting and come back May 5th and then pick up.
Same time.
Is the email that we got in regards to May 19th, is that something where they're going to commit on the 5th of May?
Yeah, the
5th. Oh,
yeah.
We're not committing to the 19th right now.
Not committing to the 19th. So, Scott, would this be the appropriate time for you to kind of summarize with
I'd like to thank everybody for their great comments, a lot of great points made. Some of the common themes that I've seen through these comments is One was the health and safety impact. And also the commercial use of the property, making sure it's safe, that kind of thing. The other one was the housing impact and how that reduces the number of housing units and how we can look at those by zone and district and the different areas about that. And I think I heard the word balance a number of times in that regard. And then there's also the economic impact. There's a number of comments about that positive impact about how short-term rentals do serve a purpose, but again, I heard balance. So I think with those three major themes, I think we also heard registration or ordinance a number of times. So I think we're moving towards that. There's probably some kind of ordinance could be looked at to begin developing to address these issues. So I think the next step is maybe bring some ordinances to the table and look at, you know, various strategies to kind of look at how we develop, deal with the health safety issue. How do we deal with the housing issue? How do we, you know, make sure there's a balance to deal with that economic impact issue? For the next meeting, I think we can begin, probably best is to get some ordinances from other communities and maybe kind of similar circumstances and begin looking at those and see if, and working from there to begin developing. I don't know if Mike has any comments or any of the city commissioners have any other observations that they may have made.
Do you have anything to add?
No, I think Scott summed it up for me.
Is there anyone in the audience who, or do we agree with the summary? Do we agree with the summary that Scott presented of what the issues are? Is there anything here that...
Yeah, Zachary, now, for a quick example, Harbor Springs, I know we mentioned Charlotte, but I don't mention Harbor Springs. They have a great ordinance in place that you could go down to the town hall and get that. I know last year was that, for example. What's up?
I disagree with there.
Well, I mean, it's an example, so that you use, because they have, like, trash service, they have emergency contact. I mean, yeah, they've just raised the price to, like, $500 per year, no matter what, but just an example. I was just saying something to look over.
Would it be possible, Scott, to post some examples online?
Yes.
Because I know that Mackinac City, Harbor Springs, Petoskey, Elk Rapids, East Jordan, Evangeline Township, Eveline Township, Elk Rapids, and our area all have an ordinance of some sort.
I talked with Barb Brooks, who does our team, and we're looking at a spot on our website where you can use the kind of the landing page. This kind of collect all this information, so we'll get that out of what that is, and begin populating these various ordinances and information.
Okay. Well, Hugh, with that, Scott, I think one great way would be to throw it, you know, I mean, it's too much information to really like put in an Excel type spreadsheet, but you could start out with, you know, columns, you know, list all the municipalities and then, okay, they have regulation on bed count, have regulate, you know, and go along that way, at least so we can see the common denominator. Exactly. Yep. I think that would help immensely. I was just going to say, you know, thank you to everybody that came, because this was so productive, I believe. I mean, I got 8 pages of notes here from, you know, I agree with what Scott said. I mean, there was a lot of common things, but I think there's, you know, there's Tom will tell you in a minute his comment from the other night, and I think it's just, there's a lot of different ways to look at it, and it wasn't, there was nothing, this was, the meeting flowed so well, and thank everybody that came, because there wasn't any, hey, you.
I don't remember my comment, Marty.
Oh, it was up. No, just that there's no there's no winner, or there's, you know.
From Dean, he said that half the community wants regulation, half the community does not want regulation, and they're both right.
Yep.
And that's our assignment, that's our homework to make something work.
Excellent.
Do we have one other public comment? The judge or my neutral?
Hi, Heather Diggs. We own a couple properties around, but out on Sumner Road. My question I have is, if you are looking at capping the amount that's within, you know, the Boyne City area, my question would be is, you know, how do you decide that cap? You know, Michelle had kind of touched on that a little bit, but for upcoming pending projects that are in the works right now, we have three that are on the plate that if you look at what's currently in place, we would hope, you know, anything that might be going forward. So I would be curious to know where the board sits on that and what you guys think you might consider. Is it just ordinances, or are you guys looking at capping?
I would suggest a percentage.
You want to
express
it? Yeah, I was going to say, I can walk through kind of how I feel on it. In regards to the capping, me personally, I don't think any blanket cap is going to be impactful. If you start digging into these numbers and like the presentation Scott Ashby Granicus and seeing where a lot of these STRs are isolated, and reviewing a lot of other local municipalities, they're capping different districts within the community. So I can see capping certain districts within the community making sense to help maintain and reserve residential homes, essentially, for the housing availability for the community. That's directly to that. I got more. I don't know if you want to give each commissioner to respond to her before we go.
Scott, is there anything that you can help with that particular question? Should you visit the planning department? And
yeah, I think we can talk and probably clarify some of those.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Do you have a question?
I just want to encourage you guys on one issue, and we saw it in the Elk Rapids ordinance. You're not going to get it right the first time, but it's a simple process to, if there's a paragraph or issue that comes up, you can amend it, you know, pretty easily. So I don't expect you to get it perfect the first time, but I appreciate that you're willing to move forward, and just keep it in mind that, you know, if you get down the road and find out, oh, this isn't working over here, you can always produce an amendment.
Okay. Is there an avenue? This is all great, but I'd like to help, and I think a lot of people here would also like to help. This is a big, big project. So if there's a way that we can help you, I guess let us know. You know, this is a big, big, big project.
Tonight was a big help.
Yeah, but whatever else we can do.
Could you share your phone number with the city staff?
And sure, absolutely.
And you can be in touch with how we might be able to utilize your office.
Okay. Are we just closing comments?
Yeah, I think that's where we're at.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah, I agree with what Marty said, and a lot of the information that we got at this meeting has been pieces of information that we've been getting here and there. A lot of new information, which is good. Overall, I don't have any personal interest or any personal input on how the commission is going to decide or what direction they want to go. The only thing that I want to have happen is make sure that we're maintaining Boyne City's economy, making sure we're not jumping to conclusions with STRs being a bad, negative thing for the community as a whole. There's a happy medium, and trying to find that happy medium. Someone mentioned doing a survey and kind of what is our economic, what do our local businesses need in short-term STRs or motel rooms. If you look at Little Waterloo Lake, they beat us. And they're not nearly the size of our economy and what our local Main Street is as far as what the support they need. Scott made a comment, 30% occupancy equals about 300 people every night in Boyne City is in an STR. That's 300 people that are at a restaurant, at a grocery store, at a local store downtown on Main Street. And that's obviously 300 people per night average. That's a lot higher during the summer. But that supports an economy. Having the department heads being involved, I've talked to Chief Spates, sent him an email. A great comment was made about taxing these STRs. If, you know, your 911 and your infrastructure spending and responding to these STRs a lot higher than regular year-round residentials, that's taking capacity from our personnel at the municipality level. So maybe there's something there involving the department heads of, hey, we're consistently seeing this expense, we're consistently seeing this obstacle with STRs that is impacting our operation. So having those conversations, getting numbers, I would really love to see some type of survey as far as kind of like, what does our local economy need as far as what would be a good stance? Because we don't want people, just to say, well, they'll figure it out because they've been figuring it out, I think is a little irresponsible for us to have that mindset. I think we should be very sensitive to having people stay here locally in Boynton City while they're here for these events, while they're here for these different themes that we have going on in Boynton City. So, but yeah, it's a good conversation. Hopefully it continues a good conversation. I appreciate that the temperature was really low, good material, good information. So thank you.
Thanks, Tim. Marty?
Nope, anything else? No, I pretty much said it. I agree with everything that Tim said, and I think that, you know, coming back to it and you know, figure it out. And we'll get some good information from Scott, I think, next time. And this was the first building lot that we'll build from here.
All right, great. George, do you have anything you'd like to?
Yeah, it's obviously a very complicated issue. You know, clearly, people are passionate one way or the other. The one thing I've heard, not in this room really today, but earlier today, was somebody I talked to was very passionate about property rights. How can anybody say what I do with my own property? He's very passionate about it. It all plays a part. I would like to see, again, what other towns have done, you know, not to reinvent the wheel, but we don't have to. You know, talk to other towns and other people in town that have had a good experience with their ordinance, and it hasn't ruined the schools, and it hasn't ruined the football teams, and you know, it's worked for them in a similar town. I reached out to the police chief in Elk Rapids, because, you know, they've dealt with this for quite a while, and he said their ordinance has worked very well for them. And they use it as compliance, which he was very happy with. They've had one complaint the police department has, not Rapids, that they had to deal with, and that was a really minor thing. That's supposed to compliance thing taking care of the complaints and the problems that people have with renters. So, again, I think we've got a lot of work to do, but this is great, getting a lot of input from a lot of people. I really appreciate everybody taking the time to bring up some really good points. Thank you.
Thanks, George. Tom?
I pretty much agree with my fellow commissioners. I think the matrix of what works for other communities, and you know, let's say so many people per bedroom, and then you can see what every community did to address that, and we find out which one works for us. I think we are unique that what works for Elk Rapids may not work for us. I mean, we're in a situation that nobody else has. Boyd Mountain was 600,000 people next door to us. I think that we certainly could use one or two hotels which would take care of this, and we have been actively trying to recruit developers. We've been actively recruiting developers to build up housing units, apartment complexes. So we have been trying to address this. I think an important issue, Scott, you can address this. The timeline to create an ordinance, let's say it takes us a couple, 3-4 months to work through this, and then to create an ordinance. Can you walk through that timeline a little bit, Scott?
Well, I'm assuming, you know, police power ordinance wouldn't be any kind of its own standalone thing, so it wouldn't be a zoning thing that had to go through that process. That it could come to the city commission for first and second reading, and then adoption. And that, you know, once you identify that final ordinance and approve it at the first reading, it could be adopted as soon as 30 days later.
Okay. But to clarify, this is not a, you're recommending not a zoning ordinance amendment, but...
I would not recommend it, but I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility. I think we need to examine all possibilities as part of it.
Okay, but one possibility would be an ordinance enforced by the police department?
Well, it's a police power ordinance, but that's the name, and, but you know, it can be enforced by staff or anybody. You know, the typical short-term rental ordinances are a lot of times administered by the zoning or planning staff.
Okay.
We badge by townships right now, we take care of that, and that's a, it's a standalone ordinance.
Okay. Thank you.
Did you have something?
No.
Okay, so, yeah, after everyone's comments, and I really appreciate, you know, the thoughtful input that we got. I see a very bright light at the end of the tunnel, and, you know, I'm sure that we're going to get to the place that we can agree on and can help. If there's one thing in what I'm trying to protect is just the residential neighborhoods and protect the character of Lincoln City, I think that's important that, you know, I see ways that we can do that and still enhance what we've got going commercially, tourism, and those sorts of things. So, again, I really appreciate everybody being here and your constructive input. So we're going to schedule a meeting for May 5th at 5:30. At that time, we will have ordinance examples. Taking off George's suggestion, Scott, do you think it would be of value to have, like, this owner, Jonathan Chiel from Charlevoix, and maybe the zoning person from Elk Rapids to come and give a brief presentation?
I can invite them.
Do you think that would be a worthwhile step?
Absolutely.
Unless,
and I'll be done from there behind that check.
Okay.
He might be done.
Okay.
Unless it's too early. Is it too early for that, or do you think it's the right time?
Yeah, we're kind of like in limbo, because I'd really like to know, like our next meeting, that's kind of how we're creating this, knowing how we're going to impact your office, and kind of getting your desire of, hey, we should be going this route with grant this, or hey, we should be going this route in-house with an enforcement officer, so on and so forth, an inspection person, going through the licensing process, the application process. What would be the appropriate timeline of, hey, we feel we're going to need to do this, this, and this, and how do we get, like, is there any way we can get a survey to show, hey, we need X amount of hotel rooms for, I mean, is there anything like that available, a way to get something like that?
I thought we had, but I didn't see if I can find anything.
Costly,
yeah.
Right. I mean, Granicus, I mean, they offer quite a bit of stuff, a lot more, they offer a lot more than just STRs. Is that something that they can help or aid?
I like what you said, Hugh, but I kind of agree with Tim. I think not for the next meeting.
Okay.
I think it'd be better to see Scott's matrix and see how, you know, how a lot of it comes together and then move in that direction.
Okay, great.
Not to keep extending it out, but to try it.
Yeah, true.
And do it in a process.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we've come to the end of our meeting, so I entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Yeah. Is there a second?
Look at that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much.